You know, it's the indication that, oh my God, they don't see a solution out of the crisis that they're in. Mm. Yeah. Because hope gives you that belief that you can overcome. There is a solution out there.
Yeah. So I would just say me overcoming this, I don't shy away a bit. I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
I was raised in a Christian home and all that. But like God gave me hope. Jesus Christ gave me hope.
Cool.
Like you said, when you're in that state of mind, it's like you just don't have hope.
Mm.
But when, obviously for me, when Christ saved me from that, it gave me a reason to live again. You know what I'm saying? It gave me a reason to live.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, like, rest in peace, Caroline Flack, or any other, you know, victims that have fallen with, you know, in terms of suicide, they came to a place they just don't have hope.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm saying they were hopeless. Like it's like it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
For me, I remember that it's the end of the. I was like, that's it. When I popped them pills, I was like, well, yep, that's it. I'm finna go now.
Mm. Mm.
You get what I'm saying? And it's that is the worst feeling ever. Hence why when we speak about the invitation, where like obviously in a sense of like. It's cool to observe your obviously like your family members and think that, oh, they're not all right. Just don't put in your back of your mind, maybe they're just going through a little bit of thing. Yeah. Especially men, maybe they're just going through a phase, let them be. No, literally come in their face and say, listen, bro, what's going on?
Yeah.
Are you going through mental health? I'm here to help you. It's not, but be serious about it. Just don't, because when you go through that stage, it's like, It can take a long process, isn't it? So don't show them signs of like, because some people can just ask questions, like you can just ask questions in the sense of like, oh, are you all right? This and that, and just leave them.
Mm.
Make sure you stick by them.
Yeah.
Thick and thin. When I say thick and thin, it could be a long road. A person can go through mental health, depression for 5 years. Are you ready for that?
More than five.
Are you literally ready to stand by that person there? Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Because that person, you can be that person's hope, and that's that.
Exactly.
You can be that. You can be the person that the person that saved that person's life. And say, you know what? I was going through this, but you just didn't leave me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I couldn't come. I couldn't. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't come to a place of killing myself because I'm scared that obviously like how you would feel. Because I'm saying, because I remember my friend told me, obviously my friend was always there. Like, but thing is like you said. I was very good at disguising obviously like this depression thing, but he told me one thing. I asked him something. If I had that, how would you feel, Jingle? Like
powerful.
He was like, Jingle, I don't know what I would do with myself.
Yeah,
I'll be sad, Jingle, bro. Like that will break me, my guy. This is my friend that I've known since my adolescence. Do you know what I'm saying? So imagine like the impact that I would have had. You know, when in terms of why I've done this. So yeah, guys, please, you know, please, that invitation of obviously like asking people like if they're going through something, please make sure you're serious about it as well.
Yeah.
Just don't say it because that's what society does. I'm saying, you know what I'm saying?
It's judgmental. It's judgmental. Sure. You spoke about it can take some time.
It will take time.
Yeah. And so when you are supporting somebody, male or female, in fact, going through any mental health problem, is you have to be able to manage silence and time. You know, we are so used as society to fill in the blanks. You know, we don't embrace silence. Mm. You know, just sitting down next to somebody, that might be the opportunity, the first opportunity that person's had to be quiet.
Yeah.
Because although somebody is sitting there passively, it might appear their thoughts are racing.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. And being around somebody that still might give them the opportunity to start reflecting on life in a different way. So yeah, be able to be still is very, very important. And also what we're going to explore as well is with depression comes a sister. Depression has a sister, you know. Yeah.
Sister. Okay.
Yeah. Depression has a sister.
Explain it to us.
Yeah. 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 Depression's sister is anxiety.
Oh, okay.
They're brother and sister.
Yeah, you know, they work hand in hand.
Because, Jingo, you can tell me if this is true or not.
Okay.
At the time when the depressions appeared to be lifting or was lifting, were you anxious that the depression is going to come back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah. And so when then that makes you feel what?
Anxious. Anxious
yeah. that the depression is going to come back.
Yeah.
So the anxiety can trigger your depression.
Yeah.
Because you're anxious that your depression is going to come back.
Yeah.
So you cannot even enjoy yourself to a certain degree because you're waiting for the plunge.
Yeah,
you're waiting for the plunge, constantly waiting for the negative feeling to occur.
It always happened at night. So in the day, you will feel happy.
Yeah.
But that when you're at that state of isolation, you're like, oh Lord, not again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not again. Because everybody's asleep. Ain't nobody out here banging music. Like obviously like playing music I was in uni at the time when this happened. So in the day, it was all going well. People playing football, you know, people, you know, discussing in the hall rooms and et cetera. But when I came in that room, in that dorm room, it was a wrap. It was definitely a wrap. Like
so nighttime was again. It's
for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is all about your awareness because you're studying your behavior habits.
Yeah.
And you can notice now it's coming nighttime. So for some people, it's a daytime.
Yeah.
Some people it manifests in eating habits, erratic eating habits, overeating, undereating. These are also ways that some people use to gain some sort of control in their mood and their feelings or the situation.
Yeah.
By controlling the one thing that they feel they can control. That is what goes in their mouth.
Yeah.
And this is one of the first things babies learn to understand. And they resist when they don't want the food. They put the mouth away. They don't want it.
Yeah.
And we keep that mindset even into adulthood. That's why you find some people who are really clinically obese, they're doing it as a way of comfort eating.
Yeah, but in a sense as well, like when you're going through depression, it's like you just don't eat. Because I didn't eat for... I would just realize like maybe at 9 to 10 p.m. like, oh man, I didn't eat the whole day.
Yeah.
So, or maybe like I won't eat a day and a half.
Yeah.
Like it's a really sad situation. So
cool. So other symptoms you could have are somatic complaints. And what we mean by that is these aches and pains, like you might get a bellyache.
Yeah.
For all of a sudden, you know what I mean? You might find that particularly headaches come. You know, and there's no real cause for the headache. You just feel like this pressure in your head or like phantom illnesses, like suddenly you can't walk, you know, lack of energy can do all these things. And also the inability to meet all your daily responsibilities. Is this individual no longer going to work on time? Yeah. You used to be on time for work and now you're strolling in necktie, half undone, gravy stain.
True, gravy stain.
Yeah, hair swept to the left, whatever the case may be, yeah, looking disheveled.
Mm.
These are all signs, not attending to your activities of daily living, like washing, these are all signs that something's happening. Mm. But there are treatments out there. There are solutions. I don't like the word treatment because treatment for me takes it down the medical route. Yeah. There are solutions. Yeah. Whereby adjustments to your lifestyle, for example, to shift that mindset, to like just shake it up a little bit, you know, because you get to a habit. Like if you can notice every nighttime, you're feeling really low.
Yeah.
Maybe nighttime is the best time for you to hit the gym.
For sure.
Do you understand? So your body, you don't go home until your body's physically tired. And when your body is physically tired, guess what? You fall asleep. Then you've survived one day. You understand? Then you're building different
lifestyles. I get what you're saying, but like that can only happen for so long, innit? Because that's like you're not treating the main issue at hand.
No, so. you're so right. And there's some issues like some issues, and you talked about for your episode, right?
Mm.
It was one event.
It was one event. Yeah.
So it's processing that one event, right?
Yeah.
Correct. Some issues. The solution is found over time.
Mm.
And there's nothing you can do in the immediate term to do it because it's about you coming to terms with a situation that can only find that solution over time.
But is it you that is suggesting this? Okay, let me just go gym to...
No, it's part of solutions. It's not one singular. I'm just saying that there's solutions out there.
Yeah.
They're talking therapies you can use as well.
Oh, that's what I meant. Like, so is that like a professional telling you like, yo, just go gym?
It's not just a professional. I'm not saying this as a professional.
Yeah.
I'm saying this as a person that supported people that have gone through low moods. And when I do feel low, I know I need my endorphins to start firing.
Yeah.
I do feel better after going to the gym. I do. I know it works for me. And what I do is I like to shake up my routine. So when I get stuck in a rut, yeah, and everything looks the same, food now tastes vanilla, everything is just gray. Yeah. I like to put some extra color in my life by doing things I don't normally do, just so that I think different thoughts. You know, this is why even when you're studying, revising, have you noticed when you can't solve a quadratic equation? Don't even know what it is. It just sounds good. Yeah. Right. You're struggling to solve that. They say, take yourself away from that scenario and think about or do something else completely. Then when you're doing something completely, you know what's happening? Subconsciously, you're still working through that problem, but you're using whatever stimulus that you're watching or doing to allow you to attack it from a different angle. But sometimes the angle that we're attacking our problems is part of the problem. It's an angle. So you change your angles. Like in snooker, to put a ball, it's all about the angles you hit the ball at. You understand? So sometimes we hit a problem head on. Yeah. And that is a problem. That head on causes a crash because it's like being punched square on the nose.
Yeah.
But sometimes what you can do is the solution will come with wisdom, and wisdom will come through maturity, and maturity comes through time. Yeah. Sometimes it's about just hanging on in there. Yeah. Processing at the same time. You're still processing it because if someone says to you, my problem is, I'm struggling to deal with something that happened to me when I was a kid. Just say, for example,
yeah.
You're not going to find, and now they're 30 old, but they're saying I had a life-changing event happen when I was, say, 10 years old, right? Now you're a 30-year-old man.
Yeah.
You don't think that you can solve that in 1 hour with the individual.
Yeah, you can't. It takes a process of time.
Yeah. So what are you going to be doing in that process of time? You know, you've had from the age of 10 to the age of 30, 20 years of thinking about this problem in the same way. Are you following my drift?
Yeah, yeah.
You've got 20 years of it and you have not solved it. So the whole point of I'm trying to raise here is sometimes you change the direction of thoughts to deal with the same problem. And a lot of people, that introduces another set of fear, meaning I've always thought about my problem like this. And I'll always think about my problem like this.
Yeah. I get what you're saying because obviously like, I'll just share this as well. Cause obviously like I was also a victim of like abuse when I was a kid. Yeah. Now I spoke to a friend of mine. So the way I deal with it is I am passive in my head, in the sense of like, I'm very passive with situations, but in a sense, it also eats me alive at the same time. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this individual here, he even shared his story, so I can even share this. So he's actually, he's basically 24 years old.
Yeah.
And he is still, I wouldn't say depressed or still disappointed of what happened to him when he was a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I get it. There's a process that you got to go through when obviously like when dealing with this situation. But for him, I feel as though he just ignored it for a very long time. But when he processed it in sense of like, okay, I accept this has happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the healing started.
Yeah.
For him. So
that's just perfect. And the key word there is acceptance. It's acceptance. So what we're trying to share is tools.
Yeah.
Tools. And for every tool, it's not one size fits every person.
Yeah.
Sometimes the gym is not going to suit every single person, but it's another tool in the arsenal that you can use. You know, there's therapies, you know, from CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, where you help somebody cope with the crisis, learning how their thoughts affect how they behave, and all these types of therapies. You know, there's a lot, including even medication, because sometimes you could be at a point whereby you're so far gone down that dark, dark rabbit hole that the only thing to keep you physically safe is medication.
For me personally, I don't think so.
But these are all part of tools. You see, there's not one size fits all.
I'll just say this, to literally deal with a situation, narcotics won't help you, drugs won't help you, medication won't help you, it's soberness that will help you. You have to be sober in the mind to process this like adequately and just do it, like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And again, I talked about from a professional's perspective. Yeah. I've seen people at their worst whereby they're so far gone, you know, and you're right when he talks about to actually deal with the crisis, to deal with whatever challenge you have, you have to be sober.
Yeah.
You got to be free of drugs. You got to be free of medication. Yeah. But there's sometimes, it's just this is what we're saying. I'm not promoting medication at all.
No, of course not.
No. But if you've worked and you've seen people like literally throw themselves off buildings, yeah, your first priority is their physical safety. And to deny somebody that medication in those moments, because what you're trying to do is get people to this place whereby they can deal in a sober way with those challenges and needs.
Mm.
Yeah. But some people sometimes can be so far gone. This is the vast breadth of what we talk about about mental health. A lot of people, when we talk about mental health, they straight away, and this is due to the media.
Yeah.
Think about you as schizophrenic. Yeah. Psychopath. That's a problem still. You know, you're bonkers, you're loony, you're blah, blah, blah. Meaning they're putting all these loaded words to say that you're somebody that is fit to be feared.
Mm.
You understand? So they don't approach you. But on the spectrum, there's people there that have functional depression. They're going around their daily lives and you would never know that they're low. You know, mm-hmm. they're coping with their challenges. Mm-hmm. They're going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that along that spectrum, it increases its intensity. You got some people that are so far gone right at the far end. You got people in the middle that need occasional support.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Occasional support. The things get to head occasionally. Yeah. You understand? Cyclically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some people have trigger events that can trigger the depression. It could be a birthday of somebody that they've lost.
They may have lost, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying to you? So we as human beings, we're all different. And I think, Django, I salute you. You know, I respect you to the highest degree.
Yeah.
No, for you to be so open and talk and express yourself to the world, that's something that I need to acknowledge and thank you for doing it.
Yeah, please, man. Guys, please, when you see them, please just don't, this situation in the sense of men having depression, please don't overlook it, because it's a problem. This is a problem that needs to be solved. And please, invitation is everything. Invitation is everything.
And remember, you are
so much more. MicDropClub.com. Make life boom.
I was meaning to do that for the longest, but there was so much momentum in the conversation. Now it's time for us to have a debrief, you know, breathe and relax and get back into our normal lives with a new outlook of positivity, mm-hmm. Supporting, loving, caring for one another, not being judgmental, be that anchor in someone else's life when they feel low. You understand? Because hopefully one day, if the shoe's on the other foot, you can be reciprocated. Okay, we all need each other. Depression is nothing to be ashamed about. It's nothing to feel you have to shy away from it. Big, well-known celebrities are coming out with revelations that they're going through depression. Read books as well of people that have gone through depression.
Educate yourself.
You know, and share these experiences with each other, okay? Hope you guys have a brilliant week and we'll catch you on the other side.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out MicDropClub.com and get the show notes and useful links. Subscribe to the podcast. Don't just live life. Make life boom.
Oh, got it.
Live from the UK, broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Mic Drop Club, hosted by Douglas Hamandiche. Message received.
Message received.
You do not need to know what you need.
What you need.
Just engage with the podcast feed.
Just engage with the podcast feed.
Providing weekly insights into cool stuff we've read, saw, did, or heard about what made us say, wow, eureka, damn, nothing is off limits. If it motivates and inspires you to reach your goals, then it shall be discussed. Featuring guest interviews from high performers and people of influence, and weekly awards for the best mic drop moment. This podcast is guaranteed to leave you pumped up for the week ahead. Don't just live life, make life boom.
How you guys doing out there? It's Douglas Hammer DJ with another episode of the Mic Drop Club.
Yeah.
Today, I am blessed. I'm not alone. I'm with the co-host, the one and only. No, you came in too soon.
Oh, my bad.
I had the intro for you. So check it out.
All right.
Today, I'm not alone. I am blessed. I have the one, the only. Lock up your daughters. Batten those hatches. We have Jingo in the house, the best kept secret. How you doing? You're right.
I am good.
You see, you came in too soon.
I am blessed.
I've been practicing that intro for quite a while and then just come in there and you just interrupted it.
I am so sorry. I really apologize.
No, it's all good. It's all good. How you been? How's your week been? It's been a while.
I had a few days off.
Yeah.
I had a very good rest. But you know, it's been a slow week. I'm really happy that I am doing what I love right now, and I feel very productive. I feel like this is a very productive week now.
Good. As I'm watching you, I'm seeing the growth. I can see the growth in your whole demeanor, the way you carry yourself, in the way you're articulating your cadence of your voice and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, you are most definitely the one to look out for in terms of podcasting, broadcasting, and all of that kind of stuff. So you got a positive, bright future ahead.
Look out for me. You heard. Look out for me.
Indeed. So today, there's been quite a few articles that came out last week in terms of at Caroline Flack took her own life, and this all raised questions around mental health. And mental health is still, and it should be, high on everyone's agenda in terms of talking through problems, challenges, and feelings that we have, and trying to find solutions. And where you don't find solutions as such, being able to continue, find coping strategies so that you don't get debilitated by some of these symptoms and these illnesses. So I wanted to really talk about, I want to be selfish. I know that women as well, girls and young ladies listen to this show, but for one second, I want to take a look at depression in men.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of not to deflate the whole show, but in fact, to elevate it to a level whereby, if they say 1 in 4 people have a mental health illness at any point in their time, you know, men in particular, because they're perceived to be hard,
macho,
to be strong, and to be all of these types of things. The way depression can manifest itself in men who don't stereotypically talk is different.
Yeah, you're right.
So I want to illuminate that subject and hopefully raise more awareness so we get talking. So I've had low moods in my life. I've been low. I cannot say I've been depressed. I cannot say, because I've nursed people that have gone through depression. I've supported people along that recovery. But I can say one of the symptoms that I was exhibiting when I was starting to feel low was feeling sad, irritable, all of these types of things, and you know, lethargy, no energy.
Yeah,
you know, no energy.
So that's sort of numbness. What was it like? I've gone through depression. I am a overcomer of attempting suicide. If you know.
No,
what
if
I
you
mean.
Want to, if you want to, if you want to share that, go ahead. You know, this is a protective space.
Yeah.
When we talk about mental health, you know, let's go back a little bit. When we greet each other, we tend to greet each other like, hi, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
You're good. And you expect a response back in the manner which you ask the question.
Yeah.
So we tend to lie. This is when the first lie of the day starts. Someone asks you, how are you doing? You say, I'm good. how you doing?
Yeah.
And the other person replies, I'm good too. One of you is possibly lying, or you're both lying in that instant.
That is true.
You understand? So in terms of being open and transparent with how you feel, mm-hmm. it's first of all being able to be truthful in any given moment. I don't feel well.
Yeah.
And if you do ask that question, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
Why are you asked that question? Are you asked that question just as a formality, as this is the way we communicate as human beings? Or are you genuinely
intentionally asking if you're really, really fine?
Sincerely
fine, yeah.
You understand? Because with that comes, if you're sincerely asking somebody how you're feeling, the expectation
yeah.
of the response is infinite.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to be prepared for somebody to say, do you know what? Can you imagine this? Can yeah. you imagine this?
Because you've given me an invitation.
Can you imagine this? Jenga, I want to ask you. Yeah. You ask me how I'm doing.
How are you doing?
I want to kill myself.
So your next response there is?
Your response to that.
Man. In my head. But I'm like.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. And this is why people tend to not talk about how they're truly feeling yeah. because they fear
yeah.
the response to the, from the other side. Mm. Like, what's the person going to do? And also equally, if you hear that as a response yourself, you've asked the question and you hear the response back, I want to end my life. What do you say? You know, in terms of, I'm a skilled practitioner, but I'm constantly learning about mental health. Constantly, every day is a learning because it manifests itself differently in every single individual. Okay. But if I didn't have those skills, those tools in my locker, as it were, I'll be flummoxed. I'll be like completely like, where am I going to go with this? You know, what if I say the wrong thing and I make the situation worse?
Yeah.
How can I make this problem go away?
Yeah.
That's why people tend to shy away. They want a quick, how you doing? And expect a quick response back and move on to something else because they feel they're not capable of dealing with
it. Hence why it's so important for you to really educate yourself about mental health. Even though you haven't obviously gone through it, you really just have to take time and just, you know, maybe just, you know, talk about people, obviously go and ask questions about people that actually had mental health and say, okay, how can I be aware next time if my friend has approached me with like, in a sense of like, oh, I want to end my life. Do you get what I'm saying? Because obviously it's easier for a person that has gone through it and literally gets a response back, that type of response, I want to kill myself, because they have gone through that experience, so they know how to handle the situation. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But obviously like you said, obviously like in our society right now, obviously this issue right here is so, it's like people are passive about it in a sense, innit?
Why do you think people are passive about it?
I feel like because obviously like they expect men to be like soldiers.
I don't think it's obvious.
Huh? You don't think it's obvious?
It's obviously like, I don't think it's obvious.
Well, why do you say that?
Because you just said it's obviously like.
Oh, okay. I get what you say. No, okay. In a sense, like, I mean, it's not obvious, but it's what society has deemed
for us to
be like soldiers in a sense and not express our emotion. But you need to understand that we cry sometimes. We also have emotions, and yeah. So, like I said, it's something that we as a society have to embrace men to come and speak their truth in a sense of like, okay, I've gone through this and this is where I'm at in my life, and not have a backlash of like, oh, just get over it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Drink a Heineken. It's all right.
It's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Particularly in England where we have the stiff upper lip, you know, you're a man, you're supposed to be able to, rise up against all sorts of challenges, which needs to be debunked because it's a complete fraud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're vulnerable just as any other sex, gender
yeah.
on the planet, right? So this reminds me of a conversation I had with Lee Joyce, who was I think it was episode 21, whereby he studies and he's a competition jiu-jitsu athlete. You know,
yeah.
And he was talking about the fact that men normally do not bond physically with each other.
Yeah, we don't.
So when you're doing a sport like jiu-jitsu, Yeah, whereby you're literally taking somebody to the ground, doing all these holds and maneuvers, you're being actually close to another human being. Mm. And it was an eye-opener for him in the sense that he's never been in that close proximity to somebody else, you know? Mm. So you end up, it can feel foreign to you, but being close, that's why we hug, but we don't hug for too long.
Yeah, we don't hug for too long.
The hug has to be
2.5 seconds. Yeah, I'm saying it's like,
you don't have a hug that lingers.
Yeah, so.
You know, so outside of your mother, who you would typically embrace and have lots of hugs with mothers, aunties, with the male bonding, it's not there. So literally you can feel the loss of that tactile support, that hug to say that it is okay. Because a hug conveys lots of different things that are not spoken about.
Yeah.
Security.
Yeah.
You know, acceptance.
Yeah.
You know, even smelling the other human being, you know, you can smell fear, anxiety, all of these things are quelled, are nullified in just embracing another human being. It's such an important thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's time for big shout out to Lee Joyce. We're going to do some more podcasts with him.
Yeah.
Pull him around that
was
the globe.
That was a great show, actually. Episode.
No, thank you. Thank you. It's actually now, I think it's in Spain at the moment. It's preparing for a few competitions. So yeah, we're going to catch up with Lee Joyce and see how he's doing as well as his challenges in terms of mental health as well. Because yeah, he's got a lot to say on this subject.
Yeah.
But just going back to what you were saying, Jingo, in terms of your own journey.
Yeah.
If you could kindly share how did it manifest in you?
Right. So just in short, you know, I was going through a situation and it put a toll on me. But like I would say that the way it happened, or that the steps that led to me obviously attempting to commit suicide, is me being, I was isolated. I isolated myself. I had mood swings.
Okay. Are you saying it was accumulative in terms of the stress that you were feeling in your life?
Yeah, it was.
Or was it one event that triggered, okay, now I've hit rock bottom?
Oh, okay. It was one event. It was just one event.
It was one life-changing event.
One life-changing event. At the time I was...
How old were you?
I was 20 at the time.
You're 20.
So when it happened, I was 19. Mm-hmm. That happened around September, but I committed suicide when I was 20, in 2016. So it was like it was a process of a period of time that this occurred. This thing occurred.
Yeah. So you've hit this brick wall, as it were. Yeah. And you're grappling to deal with the thoughts.
Yeah.
The feelings that are happening. Was there any support around you at the time?
That's what I'm saying. There was support, but as a person, for example, like, you know, as men, when you go through that type of situation, you don't know how to handle it, because society tells you, yo, just put it on your shoulder and keep it moving. You get what I'm saying? But it came to a point like, you know, like I'll be in the dark, just, you know, just, I don't know, like I would just be spazzing out in my bed. Like I didn't know why I was spazzing out in my bed. And I would have just this mood swings, like literally, like I'll just be happy.
Mm.
And then like in the next hour, I'll just be low. You know what I'm saying?
The mood fluctuations.
Yeah. So, I also say like, maybe like the drugs that I was having was also an effect. It just heightened.
The medication you're talking about.
No, I abuse drugs. I used to smoke a lot of weed. So I would think that was a factor.
A lot of people, in fact, tend to move towards substances. Now let me ask you, why did you move to substances?
Well, I was smoking weed anyways, isn't it?
No, but why did you even start smoking weed in the first place?
Peer pressure, man. So
okay, so did you use it in any shape or form to manage how you're feeling?
Of course.
You did. So you were self-medicating.
I was self-medicating. And I'm telling you right now, guys, weed will not do that to you. Like, weed will not help you. It does not help you.
What did it do for you?
It put me in a depressive mood.
Yeah, it lowered your mood.
It lowered my mood.
Yeah, so there's a lot of evidence out there. You know, just speak to Frank. in terms of the effects of cannabis on people's moods. Okay. In that moment of crisis where you feel, okay, I need something to get me through, you reached out for the cannabis, something, a substance that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
Okay. And now you're getting a deeper calm down. On top of the other issues that cannabis or any other drug can cause you.
Yeah.
And this, I'm not trying to preach to people here on this platform, because this is not what it's about. It's about sharing experiences. But we as human beings, we all have our poison.
Yeah.
We all have our poison. We all have that thing that we do to help us cope with the stresses of life. You know, when somebody finishes a hard day at work, I don't want people to listen to this and be judgmental. Yet they'll come home from work and reach out for a red bottle of wine. And they might do a whole bottle of red wine every day. You know, alcohol also is a depressive substance, okay? It does lower your mood. A lot of people who go through depression also have an issue whereby they do use alcohol in attempts to quell, to pacify the thoughts that they're having, but the calm down is even more severe.
Yeah.
You know, and I've supported people in drug and alcohol services, and they were testified to this. Sometimes coming off alcohol could be the biggest challenge you can have in your life. Alcohol dependency.
Any drug. Any drug. It's very hard.
Because it doesn't deal with the underlying issue.
Yeah.
At all.
It only takes it away from it for a split second. When I say a split second, when I was obviously like abusing this drug, 30 minutes, I would feel okay.
Mm.
And then when I got to my normal state, the thoughts became even severe. It says, I just didn't understand it. Do you get?
Yeah. So you're going through this period, you're 19.
Yeah.
Your mood is starting to fluctuate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throughout the course of a day, it's going very high.
Very high.
It's going low.
Going low.
And it's doing that even across the week as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So that must have been frightening for you.
It was very frightening, literally.
Yeah. So your thoughts are going to places whereby it's never gone to.
Never
gone to. So how would that then, what did that look like to you? If somebody could observe you, what would they see about you in terms of the behaviors and all that kind of stuff? You said you were irritable, yes, but how does that look for you?
Well, I'm a person that can disguise myself to think that obviously like there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah.
But but also at the same time, I lost so much weight and my eyes were like really black under. So it's like, you could see that there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you would just think that, oh, obviously like the side effect of weed is like you lose weight. That's that you just lose weight, you know, and all that. But the thing is like, maybe as for my close friends, they could see, okay, something is not right here, because the normal average person that smokes weed, they only smoke twice a day, but I was smoking it seven times a day, six times a day.
Okay, so now you've increased.
I literally increased, obviously, like the substance.
Yeah,
and in a normal day, you know, I would just it was a really bad moment for me, man. It was really a bad moment for me. While I was even abusing this, it's like I was smoking so much, to the point that I would throw up.
Yeah.
When you smoke weed, you shouldn't throw up. Do you get what I'm saying? But I would physically gag and throw up. Do you get what I'm saying? So just to cope with what I was going through. Now I understand that obviously like when this situation happened, it happened and it ended very well.
Mm.
But I was so deep into obviously like abusing the drug that it was just too late, in a sense of like, now I'm like, I've just lost my mind in a sense, like it was just too late. Do you get what I'm saying? So yeah. So in obviously like in 2016, you know, I remember like it was yesterday, February 17th. It's just a crazy situation. I just snapped in a sense of like, because I heard voices for a very long time in my head, like, okay, you need to kill yourself like your father did. My father was also like a victim of suicide.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Now it's cool,
so sorry.
You know. Yeah, yeah. So it's just one of them ones. Like when that happened, I gave into it.
Yeah, and
I was like, I'm sick and tired of this. Now I will say this. Before this happened, because my father died of suicide, I was like, listen, my father is selfish. Why would he do this to me? He left me and this and that and et cetera. But me being in that situation, it humbled me. Because when you're in that situation, it's like you're in a dark place that nobody understands. Nobody understands. You know what I'm saying? So in a sense, man, yeah. So that's why like this situation, yeah, like depression in men, and it shouldn't be a passive situation that just to obviously like to just throw like, you know, like it's something normal. No. Just yeah. So no.
And what you're alluding to is what you're revealing is about the fact that two things. One, your behavior is changing.
Yeah.
And the way you can mask it.
Yeah.
And this is where depression becomes such a difficult thing for people to get their heads around, because it hides in plain sight. But if you are genuinely interested in people and people feel confident that they can talk to you about how they're feeling without judgment, you might be able to find and conclude that this person actually now is presenting in a far more hazardous, destructive way to how they normally present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for example, like you talked about the dark rings under your eyes, being irritable, all of these things. If that's not how you are normally, being able to observe the difference can only come from somebody
that knows you
or is interested in you. Because sometimes you find actually, and this happens a lot in natural health, whereby we assume so much that we know people and we don't ask the questions.
For sure.
Because our eyes are trained to notice difference. They are trained to notice difference and movement particularly.
Mm.
But if you're so used to somebody presenting in such a in the same way, you assume that's how they are all the time anyway.
Yeah, you know, like you're right. You're absolutely right. But especially like that to that, like I said, that drug is like it. You lose weight and you have like when you smoke weed, you just look like you're dead. You know what I'm saying? You're like your dead skeleton. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So imagine the disguise that I had I hid it for my people, and I was also losing weight in a sense of like, this is what this drug did. So my friends didn't even know I was going through this. They just thought, man, he's just smoking weed. Like, that's just the side effects of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
You know, it's an eye opener.
Yeah. So
the fact that the people closest to you might be the ones that cannot even see how you're changing internally.
Mm. Mm.
And sometimes it can take somebody that knows nothing about you that can say, hey, you don't look too good.
Mm.
You know? So you're going through this, and you also spoke about overcoming and dealing with the fact that your father took his own life.
Yeah.
This reminds me of Bo Geldof, his wife, Paula Yates. She took her own life. I think she was married to Michael Hutchison, who was In Excess lead singer.
Mm-hmm.
He committed suicide, I'm sure, right? I'm sure I might be completely wrong here. But anyway, but I know I do remember Paula Yates. She took her own life, okay? And Bob and their daughter, Peaches, is it Peaches? Yeah, Peaches Geldof. She ended up taking her own life as well.
Yeah.
Because there is this...
It's like a tie.
It's like a blood tie.
Yeah.
There is this whole getting over and dealing with loss, that sometimes someone does something so dramatic that there's almost like a minor bird copying episode that will trigger. And we've seen this a lot in mental health already with the recent death of
Caroline Flack.
Caroline Flack, yeah. In the fact that we've had a lot more calls.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, indeed. So a lot more calls and a lot more conversations around people feeling suicidal. Yeah. Because they looked up to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a role model. And it just woke up maybe feelings that were almost dormant, just bubbling under the surface. But now, because now the conversation now is she was depressed, she had all these issues going. People feel empowered to then say, that's me too.
Yeah.
I can identify with those thoughts, those feelings, and I actually had those same dark thoughts.
Yeah.
So I too can follow it through. And particularly when the response has been overwhelmingly heartfelt from the public. It's like, oh, but people are going to mourn me in a positive way.
Yeah.
So maybe I can take that decision and go through it myself.
Yeah.
But again, what I'll say is, as we've done another show, we talked about the steps of loss, you know?
Yeah.
Anger.
The Kubler-Ross model.
There you go. There you go.
It's even a, even a shock. I even know about it. The Kubler-Ross model. Yeah.
Kubler-Ross model. Yeah. So the people tend, if they do not reach acceptance, they get stuck at any stage.
Yeah.
And anger can also manifest itself internally on yourself.
Mm.
You can enter very destructive behaviors on yourself, self-harming behaviors on yourself.
Yeah.
Or externally, as we spoke in the previous show.
Yeah.
So you have to process the fact that yes, somebody has close to you has done this. Yeah, but their situation is like the black box scenario. You can never understand unless you find that black box.
Exactly.
You're
right about that.
What was being said at the time. And who did what?
Yeah.
You can't get back into that zone.
Yeah.
Yes, that's why it's important that to reach acceptance, you also have to accept there's no black box.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You have to accept.
That's true. There's no black
box. You don't have a black box.
Yeah.
No matter how much you know somebody, particularly somebody going through depression, unless they really open up to you.
Just don't assume. Don't make assumptions.
Don't make assumptions. Yeah. So when you ask, how can I help you? What's up? You know, you got to be paying very close attention to your own biases.
Yeah.
Based upon your own ethnicity, your gender, your own biases for everything. All your potential characteristics can play a role in you judging somebody. And when you're on the, when you in that dark space.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jingle, you're the best one to explain this, right? When you're in the dark space, would you say that your sense of perception is heightened? Like you observe people to the point that you could be, stop staring at me.
Yeah. Whoa. Yes.
You understand?
For real. Yes. Yes. That was an everyday thing. It was an everyday thing because obviously like you look yourself in the mirror. Actually, hold on. I would look normal. Obviously like in my head, I'm thinking I'm just normal and all this stuff until somebody says to me, man, you're changing. And I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, man, I am changing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, I would tie the knot here of my Trexel bombs, like it was jeans or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I would literally pull them up every time. Do you get what I'm saying? So yeah, my head of, like, I used to, literally observe people, like, what do they think of me? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So this is the thing is, people who are going through that, their senses are so heightened. So they're looking at you to see your response.
Yeah.
And trust me, your biases will come out. Either you look at your feet in disgust, like, or look to the heavens in disgust, or you might roll your eyes when they're saying to you, because their problem, their challenge, or their need, might not be aligned to your own cultural values, you know? And you will come out, if you're not conscious of your own body language, you will reveal yourself. And that person will say, conclude, no, I can't talk to you. I know you might love me. I know you might be my friend, but you're not the one I can confide in. And if you're
right, we do observe you. We do observe our friends and families. Like what if I open up to this person? You know what I'm saying? Your first reaction, like you're like, in, like maybe like you look at me and I just came from my room or something like that in disgust. Oh man, like you look.
Yeah,
that's a wrap. I ain't telling you nothing. Yeah. I will smile in your face. I'll pretend that I'm happy, but I won't open up to you.
Yeah, and depression needs fuel.
Yeah,
yeah. Because when you are going through, this is my training coming in. And you're here to keep me honest, right? Yeah. When you're in that frame of mind where you're depressed, depression needs fuel. So you look into the world to support your depression.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why people who go through depression can sometimes be the meanest people.
Yeah.
Can actually be really mean because they want the response to come back to support the depression.
Mm-hmm.
So look, everybody does hate me.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So they'll do things, sabotage things so that people do hate them.
For sure.
Or they're perceived to be hated.
Yeah.
So that fuels the depression. Mm-hmm. Nobody's like me. Or good news can actually be twisted to be negative.
if that's the event in their lives, like, oh, like everybody just hates me. So
yeah,
now they will just run with that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
So, exactly. Yeah, so it needs something to drive feel, it.
Yeah, yeah, to drive it. Yeah.
So in terms of the symptoms of like depression, feeling sad, empty, you talk about being irritable, angry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopelessness.
Yeah, hopelessness. Yeah.
Hope is this, it's a four letter word, right? But you know, the best film of all time, which is Star Wars, yeah?
Ah, oh, here we go again.
I'm sorry.
Wars.
I'm undercover geek. I'm sorry. But yeah, you know, it's the premise of that is hope, yeah? Right? And when you don't have hope, you know, and hope is based upon you having some sort of inner courage or inner belief.
Or higher power that you believe in.
Yeah. Inner belief that you can overcome something.
Yeah.
That's what gives you hope. Mm. It could be a little twinkle in someone's eye that gives you the hope. It could be a twinkle inside of you that says, but when you have no hope,
that's when.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. When people start talking about hopelessness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to be of faith to use the word hope.